This is an exclusive excerpt from the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder.
Nigel Williams is the author of the series of books called The Adventures of Alfie, Age 13. They are three middle-grade paranormal adventure books on Bigfoot, aliens, and vampires. They are titled Alfie and the Bigfoot of Bluff Creek, Alfie and the Aliens of Area 51, and Alfie and the Vampires of Transylvania. Nigel joins us from Los Angeles via Riverside.com. Hi, Nigel.
Hey, how are you? Thank you so much for having me on your program.
Thank you very much for being here on the program. So, first of all, when did you decide that you were writing books for basically middle schoolers?
Right. Well, in a previous life, I was a theatre director and a theatre teacher. I retired from that 3 years ago. And my eldest daughter, who is a literacy consultant for schools in the UK, said, "Hey, Dad, we're finding it hard to get boys to read, especially in that 9 to 13 age bracket. Why don't you think about using your time and your creative energy now to write some stories and engage young people like you did in the theatre classroom?" And I said, "Okay, but what are they interested in?" And she said, "Well, they're English kids, but they love all things American. They love conspiracy theories. They love creatures, monsters." And that was a great prompt for me because since I came to the States, which was 15 years ago, I've been pretty obsessed with all those TV programs like Expedition Bigfoot, Finding Bigfoot, Ancient Aliens. That's sort of been my evening diet of TV watching. So I thought, hey, if I can combine that obsession with writing and trying to engage young people, that would be a really great mission or a challenge for me.
You said this became an obsession for you. When did this obsession start? Only when you came to the United States?
Well, I guess the obsession was realized then because of the access to TV programs and so many TV programs. But actually, I do remember in the late 60s, my dad calling me into the living room to watch the news on a black and white TV. And it was the Patterson-Gimlin movie, the super famous film of Patty, the Bigfoot walking across Bluff Creek. And I guess as kids, we are sort of obsessed with things that go bump in the dark, what's under the bed, the possibility of monsters. So I think that's always been lingering there and then suppressed probably as I grew up. But now I've sort of like opened that Pandora's box of obsessions again.
Now, when it comes to Bigfoot, when it comes to aliens at Area 51, that is, for lack of a better term, geographically very American. Vampires, they come from Transylvania, but you come from the UK. What about the Loch Ness Monster?
I know you're going to say that. I actually used to live 30 minutes from Loch Ness, and it is an incredible body of water. But there's something more global about those other things that has been super interesting. Like, as I began to research Bigfoot, and my first book is about Bigfoot, and specifically Bigfoot in California, but you know, I spent a lot of time researching and listening to people, interviewing people, and listening to podcasts like Bigfoot and Beyond, Sasquatch Chronicles, and talking to the people that make those programs. And Bigfoot is a global phenomenon. You know, it's not a localized or parochial a monster or a cryptid. Yes, it exists in California. Yes, the modern obsession with it started in the 50s in California, but it's all over the world. You know, China has the Yeren, Australia has the Yowie, Nepal has a Yeti, Russia has the Almas, and they're all bipedal, ape-like cryptid creatures. So, you know, as a phenomena, it actually exists around the world. But Alfie, my hero, my 13-year-old protagonist in the first book, in all the books, but in the first book, discovers that as he comes from the UK to live in Los Angeles, after the death of his mum, living with his dad and his sister, his dad works in films, that's what brought him to LA, he quickly discovers that Bigfoot is not only a Northern California phenomenon, but there are Bigfoot stories in the Santa Ana Mountains, even in Los Angeles. In the book, Alfie investigates a sighting in Buena Park, where Knott's Berry is, which is a big sort of fun fair area. So it's pretty pervasive as a phenomenon, and I found out more and more as I researched. And then aliens again. Alfie's first adventures in California, his second adventures following aliens to New Mexico, obviously Roswell, Area 51, Skinwalker Ranch, which is, you know, a big TV program and a government base that is investigating alien phenomena. So that again is quite localized, and I sort of did the road trips myself, so it felt real in the writing. And then vampires, you know, Of the three books that I've written, they're the more mythological monster, and it was hard to find facts other than Vlad the Impaler from Romania, Transylvania, you know, who by staking his enemies began the sort of the phenomena of vampires as we know them. But I took Alfie back to London for that story because I quite like marrying it with a sense of Victorian Gothic, and it's a sort of, it's almost a Sherlock Holmes. It's Alfie becomes Sherlock Holmes as he follows these vampires around England. My obsession, I guess, is rooted in lovely American TV programs like Kolchak. I don't know if you remember that.
Absolutely.
From the 70s and 80s. Yeah, I mean, that was one of my favorite ever TV programs. I've been rewatching it again. And there seems to be an interest, you know, in things like Supernatural. That was another one of my favorite TV programs. And then, and Scooby-Doo, which other end of the scale. But, you know, somebody asked me the other day, what are the adventures like? Well, they're very cinematic. They're very fast-paced. But they're sort of like Enola Holmes, that new film franchise, which is the younger sister of Sherlock Holmes, meets Scooby-Doo, meets sort of Stranger Things. I've sort of like tried to tap into that as well in terms of hitting the right zeitgeist.
I got to admit that when I first read of your books, I thought, this has a Scooby-Doo feel to it.
I mean, I take that as a compliment. I love Scooby-Doo. And the thing about middle grade writing is there has to be peril and there has to be danger. But, you know, it has to be peril without a gratuitousness, and it has to be danger sort of without consequences. So that follows that Scooby-Doo model. You know, yes, you want to feel engaged and you want to feel that your protagonist and his sidekicks are, you know, are in danger and things could happen to them. But you also, as a middle grade reader, you want to be safe within that world as well. So writing pseudo-horror or paranormal or supernatural stories, you want them to feel safe within that world. You want them to be able to feel that they can have that adventure, but they're going to be okay. And I think, you know, that is a little bit like Scooby-Doo. It has comic qualities as well. Obviously, I'm trying to write with humour and wit, but I'm also trying to tackle serious things within it as well. As a teacher, I sort of realised that young people don't want to be patronised. They are taking on real issues. In fact, Alfie is dealing with the death of his mum in his adventures, and we discover why she died and how she died later in book two and book three. But in book one, he's just dealing with that grief. But it isn't a story laid down with grief. Alfie doesn't even know how to describe it because he doesn't use the word grief. And it sits underneath sort of the roller coaster adventure. So I'm trying to sort of take on real issues, but I'm trying to wrap it up in a fast-paced roller coaster sort of cinematic story.
You actually came from the UK to America, but you came as an adult, correct?
Yes. So I came like 15 years ago, I was brought over to direct and teach theatre at a college school in Los Angeles.
Your character, Alfie, who is only 13, he also makes that travel. So is there something in the way that you've written him that is kind of reminiscent of your journey, even though you were an adult and he's a child?
Yes, totally. Thanks for saying that. Yeah, absolutely. I think it's really important as writers that we write with a sort of authentic voice. And you know, going through the process of trying to write this story, I was told, well, you know, use your authentic voice. You're an English person coming to America, but try and imagine that within the shoes of a 13-year-old. So Alfie has never been to America before, so all his insights, his observations, his learnings about what happens in Los Angeles are done sort of for the first time. And I've been able to use my own experience, you know, dealing with talking about time, a distance rather, in time rather than miles, describing roads by their numbers, dealing with fast food, a beach life, taking on the culture and the climate, even the way schools operate and the language of teachers here and the vocabulary of the description of the school is all something I've learned over the last 15 years. And I've tried to incorporate, I've tried to make that fresh in the eyes of Alfie. So I think you hit a really good point that, you know, we have to use authentic voices. Alfie's sidekicks are Milos, who's an American boy whose heritage is Romanian. That's how we get to the vampires. And Tally, who's a girl who doesn't know her dad, but she thinks he's Native American. And, you know, I wanted to write point of view stories for those characters, but in the end, I had to draw it back because that's not my authentic voice. So the world in the story is viewed completely through the eyes of Alfie, the English boy. It's his story, his feelings, but the others are support characters within that story.
You mentioned that Alfie, his mother has died, and you mentioned the grief he goes through in the first book. You delve into it more in the second and third book. Was that something that you always planned to do when you first started writing the first book?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think I did in my mind, I wanted to build a world or a universe. I didn't want to just write a book. I wanted to map out who Alfie was and what had happened to him, and also give depth and detail to the characters around him. So each book is a book in itself, but it's like Shrek would say, it's an onion. You peel back layers each book, and you find out more as you go in. Yeah, the first book is really about Alfie transitioning to America with the loss of his mum. And she's with him in the first book. She talks to him. He hears her voice. And he's dealing with this black cloud around him, this sort of blanket that's on him. And he doesn't understand why. And it's basically the guilt that he's feeling, that he thinks he's associated with, you know, with his mum's death and just losing her. But he can't articulate it. And I saw that a lot as I was teaching. You know, young people carry so much on their shoulders. And it might be, you know, silly things to us, like the death of a rabbit or whatever, but sometimes it's deeper than that. And I think with the advent of social media and what that brings in terms of people scrutinizing you, young people sort of carry so much in them and on them that I wanted to create a character that reflected a modern teenager and what they're carrying. And I wanted that to feel real. I didn't want it to weigh him down within the adventure, but I wanted it to be ever present. And then book two and book three sort of like opens it up a little bit when we discover more about why and what happened.
Congratulations on the three books so far. And I say so far, are you planning more?
Well, I've just returned from the coffee shop where I was structuring book four, which is Werewolves in New York. I like to write about places that I've been. I really like to give the places a real feel. So yeah, book four is about the mythology of werewolves and encountering that. And I have got ideas for books five and six. I'm looking at a haunting book based on an island in Mexico City called the Island of Haunted Dolls. And then I've got a sixth book about pirate treasure. I used to love that program, Curse of Oak Island. I don't know if you ever used to watch that or are still watching it. So I love the idea. And as a child, I love the idea of cursed treasure and pirate treasure. So book six, if it happens, would be about the Captain Kidd's cursed pirate treasure. That's what I've got in my head.
Well, congratulations with the three books. Again, it's Alfie and the Bigfoot of Bluff Creek, Alfie and the Aliens of Area 51, and Alfie and the Vampires of Transylvania. Thank you very much, Nigel, for taking the time to be on the program with us.
No, thank you so much. Thanks for asking such great questions. And it was just a treat to be able to talk about Alfie and his adventures.
Nigel Williams, author of the series of books called The Adventures of Alfie, Age 13. You can visit our website at thestufffile.com, check out the show number for this program, which is show number 0842, and you'll find the link to Nigel's website, plus links to either Amazon.com or Amazon.ca, where you can order his books directly.
You've just heard an exclusive excerpt from the Stuff File program with Peter Anthony Holder. To hear any or all of the full hour-long shows, visit thestufffile.com. Stuff is spelled S-T-U-P-H. That's thestufffile.com. A presentation of Flying Fish Communications.